the problem framing, right? Again, as I alluded to, it tells us to look at everything regardless of what it is as a problem. So when you have a problem, naturally, the first question becomes, how do you solve that problem? So with me, initially, those first two deals, they were problems simply because we tied up resources with the VA loan that we couldn't then leverage, right, on a better deal. So once we peeled back, right, it was educationally related to understand those problems and the additional resources that existed. Once that was identified, we then started to build out, right, a path forward against that. And naturally, what made sense within that framework was leveraging the ability to take a VA loan.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have a very, very special guest, my friend, Alvin Cavalier. Alvin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for the invite. It's been a pleasure to follow you and to finally get a chance to meet virtually and honored in this capacity to be invited on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a pleasure of mine, too. And, you know, we've had a lot of great conversations over the year, et cetera. And I mean, you know, COVID happened. And so it's been really just a pleasure knowing and following you, too, Alvin. Especially since we both have, you know, a deep roots in the short-term rental space. And I'm excited to get that into that. Yeah, into your story. So, you know, everyone, Alvin has a wonderful career and he is I'm going to let you get into it, but you focus now on short-term rentals and working with multifamily investors. And we're going to talk all about all of that. So why don't you start us off with sharing a bit about, you know, your big why for getting into real estate and then how you did it in the first place.
Yeah, certainly. So the why dates back to about 10 years ago, and you know, being active duty military, one of the things that we come to understand is that we sort of operate under an umbrella, as I call it, with the VA home loan and then stipends that are provided for us as we move around. But understanding those things are in place really provides an investor that's interested in real estate a solid ground, right, to get started without having a lot of risks. And you know, you pile on top of that the number of times we move over the period of a career. And when you put all this together, you can start to paint a picture in real estate and see where it can become very advantageous or lucrative for you. So that was the start about 10 years ago. And we got into a couple of single family homes. And then over the last 4 years or so, really turned the dial up into the short-term rental market, which is where we sort of lay our hat now within real estate. And the big why within short-term rentals is it's become more of a control aspect for the business in general, because with short-term rentals, we get a chance, one, to control the markets that we go into, the guest avatar, and how we sort of shape these unique rentals inside of these markets and then watch them perform well based on that control factor. And then three, just the diversity, right? We've been able to help investors internationally, invest internationally across the Canadian border. And in addition to that, over 30 markets inside of the U.S. So, and just like every other real estate investor that's been around for a while, I think we've relished the opportunity to create different niches within the short-term rental market and then partner with other investors and provide some more creative ways to create rentals and income. So it's been quite the journey, but I've enjoyed it up until this day.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot there to that story that you just told. And I want to just circle back to one piece that you mentioned, which is, you know, how as active duty military, how you're really set up to kind of build a real estate portfolio. Is that right with like the different kind of programs that are available? Can you go into that a bit?
It is. And, you know, the way we're structured is that, you know, we get a housing stipend called BAH, Basic Allowance Housing. That enables us to provide housing, right, for ourselves or our families, regardless of where we go. And you layer that on top of having access to a VA home loan. And for those of you that understand the VA home loan, it can be a gold mine for investments, and especially for new investors that are active duty military or affiliated with military. But as I alluded to earlier, it provides a ground or good framework, right, to start into real estate, understanding that those resources exist. So it lowers your risk threshold for coming into real estate. And once you understand that, it then enables you to go into markets, understanding the resources that you have and that you're not necessarily putting your family at risk with a deal that you take on. And it enables an investor to invest in real estate.
Okay, interesting. So then just for someone who, you know, I'm actually really curious about this, is it that you can buy with the VA loan program, you can buy investment property or you can buy single family home and house hack, or what makes it so attractive?
So the VA loan's very particular about using it for investment purposes. So it has to be a home that you live in. But there's not a quote unquote defined time, because you can buy a home and 3 months later you can be on orders to go somewhere else, which technically means that you've met the requirements within the parameters of the loan. And then you're able to rent that home out as an investment property. And then you can use it in the capacity of house hacking. There's some very great success stories that exist for investors that use it in a house hacking fashion. And for those of you that are thinking about it, I'd implore you to look into it and take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like if you can use your VA loan, which has got very favorable terms, to get, you know, a fourplex or something like that, then that's just it's already favorable because you're living there, but then the VA loans are, I think they're better, right? How are they actually better than a regular home loan?
Well, I mean, it depends, right? You know, but I tend to think that the VA loans, for the purpose it serves, and remember, we've got a sort of a large group of eligible veterans. So whether you've got the lower enlisted E2 that's just come in and starting a career, or you've got, you know, someone at the top of the food chain, there are a lot of considerations as to what type of loan to use for a specific time and a specific purpose. But at the end of the day, having access to a VA loan, regardless of where you're at, enables you to get into real estate with some good numbers behind it, behind the deal.
Awesome. And then if you are moved to a new city, then you can get a new VA loan, right?
Yes, so it's capped at about $440,000. So you've got that amount of capital to play with. And there's some exceptions to that, depending on what you're doing. It branches out into construction and some other things that are not necessarily known on the surface. But there are some other areas where you can expand out the use of a VA loan.
Okay, awesome. And so can you just speak a little bit more about why it is that you want to do real estate in general? And then we'll dive into the short-term stuff. Like you want to take advantage of obviously the programs, but what else was it? Like, why did you want to build wealth outside of your military career?
You know, I've researched and looked across not only different markets, but other investors. Real estate's really just served as a cornerstone of wealth. It's been historically the most stable marketplace that we've known over time. So I think the simple answer becomes understanding real estate can be key to starting a journey, but then branching out into different aspects of real estate, residential, multifamily, and then true commercial real estate gives you an opportunity within real estate to diversify your real estate portfolio and set that cornerstone for you and your family.
Absolutely. Okay, great. So let's now talk about the first couple deals you did, and then we'll dive more into short-term rental. But like, how did you did you start with a house hack? What did you start with?
It was pretty simple. It was using a VA loan when I was stationed, actually where I am here now, 10 years ago in Columbus, Georgia. Purchased a new construction townhome and then converted that after PCS to a long-term rental. The second deal in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I followed the same path and used a VA loan on another new construction townhome that less than a year later, I turned it into a long-term rental. Now, that was pre-Alvin understanding all the nuances about real estate and leveraging other loans to better position some of these deals, and more specifically to free up the VA loan, because I sort of feel like it's sort of the home run loan where you want to go big with the VA loan versus taking on individual efforts. So along that journey with those first two properties, I quickly came out of my VA loan by refinancing out into a traditional loan to free up my VA loan. And then what that led to was the purchase of a multifamily, a house hack situation, which I was on a very short timeline. And then that enabled us to utilize that entire complex then as long-term. And then that eventually changed into short-term rentals.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I want to just pull out some important points that you brought up, which is that understanding these financial tools and how you can help them use them to buy income producing assets is just so critical to making strides in this game. Like, you know, there's lots of financial tools that will help you, you know, be able to buy a fancier car or, you know, get like, there's so many credit card products, but if you can actually understand financial tools that will help you buy real estate, then that's going to be a path to actually building long-term wealth. So, you know, really like how you were thinking there. Is that something that, you know, you were taught, or what inspired you to kind of like learn how to use these tools?
The growing pains of doing deals and not necessarily being educated on all the resources that exist around you. So I initially tied into Bigger Pockets some time ago, and then, you know, reading around and starting to connect with like-minded individuals, you start having these conversations and listening to podcasts and other resources, reading books, then it starts to enable your education. And then once you start to build essentially a framework around what you want to do, which I think is really important, you then get to go back, reevaluate your past. And if in our case where, you know, the past decisions weren't detrimental to getting in debt or the business, we were able to reposition those, leverage them out into the current fourplex.
Really quickly, about, you mentioned this framework and how you thought it was important for you to, for an investor to kind of lay out the framework that they wanted to, you know, achieve and go by. Can you go into a little bit more detail about what you mean by that?
Yeah, so I am huge on framework, right? And as I always say, you have problem solvers and you have problem framers. I like to deal with problem framers because they don't always go get the hammer to take care of the bleeding issue, right? But even in real estate and in really every aspect of life, as far as I'm concerned, framing problems or framing anything as a problem helps you ask the critical questions that are required. And then that helps you chart a path forward based on your individual goals, financially and personally. So once that framework's built and it's understood, then you start to build your internal playbook, right? Then you understand what educational tools you need to assist you along your journey to help you meet your goals.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important, like being able to know what problem you're going to be solving so that you can actually be strategic in getting to a goal. But if you just...
Vital.
Yeah, if you just start taking action, I mean, there's nothing, you know, it's so important to also get moving. However, once you kind of have that ability to like actually move and take action, then taking a step back and like actually thinking about, well, what is the end goal and how do I get there, rather than, you know, just throwing spaghetti at the wall. I mean, there's a time and a place for that.
Yes, I agree.
So for you, would you just walk us through your problem framing for how you approached your business and your next steps?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, certainly. So the problem framing, right, again, as I alluded to, it tells us to look at everything regardless of what it is as a problem. So when you have a problem, naturally, the first question becomes, how do you solve that problem? So with me, initially, those first two deals, they were problems simply because we tied up resources with the VA loan that we couldn't then leverage, right, on a better deal. So once we peeled back, right, it was educationally related to understand those problems and the additional resources that existed. Once that was identified, we then started to build out, right, a path forward against that. And naturally, what made sense within that framework was leveraging the ability to take a VA loan, almost the same amount of money that was put against two homes, and to get four. And because it was going to initially be a house hack and then eventually long-term rentals, we saw the leverage point being able to utilize the VA in that VA loan in that capacity to move things forward.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And then does that tie into your path with short-term rentals?
It does, because that became the second short-term rental deal. Well, I mean, they were ours, but it became the second short-term rental properties that we actually went into. So Once we started, at least with the first short-term rental property, it was sort of a proof of concept. But once we sort of figured out that, hey, we can play in this space and there's a lot of room to grow, naturally it was there to take on the four units we had, turn those into short-term rentals, and then start to figure out a way to scale that effort at large, to do it anytime and anywhere.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, great. Now, I'd love to just for you to just do a deep dive with us into, you know, what it is that you're working on now and, you know, how that provides value to investors and just in general. I know there's a lot there, but like maybe start with an overview and we'll go from there.
Yes, certainly. So it's been a great 4 years, I think, since we started in the short-term rental business. And, you know, just like everything else, right? We, even in the beginning of the short-term rental business, we didn't necessarily have a way ahead that sort of gave us a unique niche in the market. And that was ultimately the goal to get to. So starting off, we were in it to win it. We were taking on units and trying to get as much income as possible. But what we figured out over time was that that model isn't sustainable, right? Because it's the same model that everyone sort of falls into. And you've got some major players out there that are able to take on a lot of inventory and do the same exact thing. So one thing we did understand about business in general is that every market deserves a turnkey solution, or it will develop at some time. So we set out about 2 years ago to start to put this together in a beta test, right? Using a few of our properties, we started to package them up as investments to investors by simply providing a do-it-for-you service where either the place was either furnished or we would hire third-party designers to put them together and then conduct the back-end management. But that allowed us to start to understand, right? We'll build a frame around it and understand some of the problem sets that we would encounter. But the ultimate goal was to get to a point to where we can do this at scale, meaning anytime, anywhere across both the US and Canada. And about a year ago, two years ago, what became very apparent was that Airbnb was going to go public at some point. So we started to marry up our timeline with scaling this particular effort with when Airbnb was going to go public, because we naturally know two things happen. Once a company goes public, their visibility goes through the roof. And then more particular in a case like this with short-term rentals, the interest goes through the roof, and both those things happen, right? So we officially launched our turnkey model in January of this year. and just a deeper dive into what that is. So we partner, right, with multifamily investors and owners like yourself, single family homeowners, and provide them with value in a master lease anywhere from 36 to 60 months. We then provide all of the interior design services that are required to build out properties. And once that's complete, we provide all of the back-end management required, whether it's internally through our system or through a third-party company. But it gives investors, in this case, that are interested in investing in Airbnb, and you know, they're busy professionals that just don't have the time, it gives them a way to passively invest in Airbnb through my company. And then on the flip side of that, be able to use that for tax purposes in most cases.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. And what is it that you love about the short-term rental space, and why have you chosen to focus there?
It's really the diversity. And then, you know, I think this, the short-term rentals in general are a ticket, right? A gateway into the sharing economy. And that's another area that we love to focus on within the confines of a short-term rental. And all that simply means is that short-term rentals typically bring guests in, which is key within the sharing economy. But there's so many other services that exist within the confines of the sharing economy. What it does is it forces us to take a step back and look at a house or an apartment and ask ourselves a critical question. How do we get our highest and best use out of this home and then convert this home into a multi-purpose space that operates right within the confines of the sharing economy, which then means for investors, we get a chance to drive profit margins, right? Because we're then leveraging additional services to increase income for those properties. And that gets back to the diversity and the reason why we were so excited about short-term rentals and being a greater part of what we do within the sharing economy.
Awesome. Yeah. Really like so much of what you said there. So how do you decide how to price like a turnkey short-term rental? Is it based on a cap rate or what is it? And then are you going to continue the management of it once you sell it?
So this is important too, right? Because the value, as I always say, in a short-term rental, it differs in the value in a long-term rental. So the same things that generate success from a number standpoint in long-term rentals, it is dramatically different in short-term rentals. So I'll walk through what that looks like. So we approach this from a value-based standpoint. And that's simply to look at this from a business standpoint first and help our investors understand, you know, hey, Toys R Us once, you know, ruled the toy market and Blockbuster once ruled the movie market. But we now know the history of those two companies. They failed, but the reason they ultimately failed is because they failed to offer value, right, to their customers. So we look at short-term rentals in the same capacity. So when we take value, we ask ourselves, what defines value, right? So the first step in our market research and analysis is to understand our travel demographics. Who's traveling? But more specifically, what makes up those travel demographics? And it's important to understand that because it's as simple as a family with just a couple, right? And you've got a couple that may just be traveling with a young kid. And then you've got a couple that may just be traveling with a pet. And the list goes on. But it's important to understand the who in each of those travel demographics that may exist in a specific market, right? Because Atlanta is going to differ from Denver, Colorado. So it's important to apply that and then understand their unique needs. We understand their unique needs simply by going into Airbnb because all of the amenities that are offered that they have to choose from, they're right there in front of us. So we pull data points right out of Airbnb to understand where gaps exist in the market. And those gaps are largely based on amenities that are not offered by current operators in the market.
Okay. What are some of those gaps? I mean, I know it's going to differ, but just like as some examples.
Pets is a huge gap in the market. And that's simply to say that, you know, you'll have operators that don't want to allow pets. But, you know, when the filters go in because you've got a family that's traveling with a pet and they hit the pet filter, whoever's remaining are then in competition for that guest.
So how do you make it work with pets? Like, do you get all different types of furniture and like, or, I mean, as a host, I don't allow pets, but I think that I should probably transition one of my units to a pet friendly unit, at least just to see how it goes. How would I do that and make it, you know, so that the couches don't get like scratched up and all this stuff or whatever it is that happens?
Well, you know, there are things you can't prevent, right? Whether it's pets or kids or anything that walks into a place, it could be a human being. We understand that sort of comes with the territory. So the way we enable protection against those unique incidents, we charge a pet deposit. What we've been able to pull out of our data points over the last couple of years is that whether it's a guest or it's a pet, if we hold a deposit, we have a less than 5% chance of them ruining something in the home.
Okay, got it. Do you get like leather couches or do you get special rugs or what other kinds of things might you do to, I don't know, just there's some things that maybe it's not ruining, but like, you know, just wear and tear from like pets walking on stuff or, you know, I don't know, throwing up on the floor or whatever it happens.
This is where it comes back to control too, right? Because if you allow pets, you then get to set the rules around them. And in most cases, especially homes that have more valuable furniture than others, we'll simply just have a requirement for them to remain in a cage while in the home, only come out when they're being taken out. So,
okay. Interesting. Cool. Well, thanks for that. So, and what would you say, you know, like when you think about your investors that you're selling these turnkey projects to, why are they choosing to invest in, say, a short-term rental property over a multifamily investment or something else?
So this has been pretty interesting to understand our investor pool currently. Some of them are invested in syndications, and they're simply looking to diversify their income portfolio. Others are interested in short-term rentals because it's a non-passive activity and you're able to take active losses. So for tax purposes, anywhere, you know, we can understand and leverage our activities in investments to reduce our tax liability, it becomes something investors will eventually find. 90% of our investors fall into one of those two buckets. Either they're investing in multiple markets, in multiple things, and this becomes another avenue for them to spread their investments, or they're looking at this from a tax standpoint. Airbnb, as I always say, it's good, right? But if you understand this from a tax standpoint and you can leverage this activity, then it can become a great investment for you.
Yeah, for sure. And what would you say are the, like from a return standpoint, are Airbnbs more about cash flow or appreciation, like when you're working on these turnkey properties?
Strictly cash flow, because, you know, in this case, we have a rental arbitrage model. So there's no equity stake involved in our deals. So investors in this case, when they get our pro forma and our investment package, they're strictly looking at cash flow, our estimated gross revenue numbers and net numbers per month.
Very, very interesting. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Alvin, for sharing about what you're working on right now and, you know, how you got started in real estate and what led to where you are. Just really always, I mean, appreciate watching your stuff. So please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share. I know you have like a wealth of content out there.
Yeah, certainly. I think the easiest way, especially for a turnkey program, is to text the word turnkey. Turnkey 202, I'll back up, 918-5027. That will bring you into our texting community. And that's where we share current deals as well as future deals for investors to take a look at. You can also find us on YouTube. If you go on YouTube and you type in Coach Calf, you'll find over 120 or so pieces of content that we've created. And also on Facebook, Airbnb plus Share and Economy Live is where we live on Facebook for your listeners.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all take some time to check out Alvin's stuff and what he's doing in the space. It's another really interesting investment opportunity that we haven't touched on at all so far. And, you know, it's near and dear to my heart because it was my first business that really got me to income replacement from my corporate job. And so I can speak from personal experience and say that it's an amazing place to make cash flowing money. So thanks so much, Alvin, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.